Good morning, brothers and sisters. Turn with me, Ecclesiastes chapter 5. We are continuing a series of Ecclesiastes. Now we are in chapter 5. It is almost part 2 sermon today. So when we see chapter 5, Solomon calls us to do one thing, guard your steps as you go to the house of God. Then he is giving different idols. And we have seen that, like, no, we are being independent by ourselves. We think we are self-sufficient and we won't depend on God. Then we have seen those the important truths. And also we should have commitment. Like, no, sometimes we are being unfaithful men. So these things are not making us to go near to God. We are very far from God. Then today, we are going to see that another idol that we have in our hearts, even though we are Christians, that even we struggle. There is no difference between rich and poor in this matter. So that is, he is talking about money that leads us away from God. We can replace money in the place of God. Different idols stop worshipping God. One of the idols is money, worshipping money. Loving money more than God is a serious sin that we should destroy. This is also idol. But this is the reality in the world. Solomon is addressing here that no, people are struggling with this sin and worshipping idol, which is money, riches. But I want to help you to understand two marks of one who loves money. We can see very clearly, there are so many marks. The two marks is, one of the marks of one who loves money is, he loves God for money. So the people who love God for money. So for example, believing in Lord Jesus Christ, coming to the church, reading the Bible, so that God may bless them with riches. So it is connected to the prosperity gospel. Do you know why people are coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, especially poor people? Because if I believe in Lord Jesus Christ, I will get more money. So this one also, even good things can be used for this worship, idling, the money. The second mark, no, which I want to say, the first mark is one who loves God for money. The second mark, he does not love God for money. One who loves God for money, one who does not love God for money. So examples, no time for the church. And no time for the fellowship. He does not love God because he is loving money. He does not come to the church. He is so much busy. No time to read the Bible. No time for studying the Bible. No, not giving money to the church needs. Not helping others. Because he loves money, he is not loving God. So I summarized it. Brothers and sisters, men love and seek money or riches because they think they can find joy in it. So people are struggling with it. So Solomon is going to help us. He's warning us. You should not find joy in riches and money. You should find joy in God himself. That's what he's saying. By the way, money is not evil by itself. But when it is replacing God, then it becomes idolatry and then it becomes dangerous, right? So money itself is not evil. You know that, but I want to remind that. But you should not love money more than God. That's what he's saying. We can read Ecclesiastes chapter 5. We can read verse 8 to 20, which is today's portion. Verse 8 to verse 20. If you see oppression of the poor, denial of justice and righteousness in the province, do not be shocked at the sight. For one official watches over another official, there are higher officials over them. Verse 9. After all, king who cultivates the field is an advantage to the land. He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves abundance with its income. This too is vanity. When good things increase, those who consume them increase. So what is the advantage to their owners except to look on? Sleep of the working man is pleasant, whether he eats little or much, but the full stomach of rich man does not allow him to sleep. There is a grievous evil which I have seen and discerned, riches being stored by their owners to his hurt. When those riches were lost through a bad investment and he had fathered a son, then there was nothing to support him. As he had come naked from his mother's womb, so will he return as he came. He will take nothing from the fruit of his labor that he can carry in his hand. Verse 16. This also is a grievous evil. Exactly as a man is born, thus will he die. What is the advantage to him who toils for the wind? Throughout his life, he also eats in darkness with great vexation, sickness, and anger. Here is what I have seen to be good and fitting. He is concluding here. To eat, to drink, and enjoy oneself in all one's labor in which he toiled under the sun during the few years of his life, which God has given him. For this is his reward. Verse 19. Furthermore, as for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth. So this is not completely negative thing here. So God is the one who gives riches to people, right? He is the source of riches. That's what he's saying. Then he says, he has also empowered him to eat from them, to receive his reward and rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God. Verse 20. The important verse, for he will not often consider the years of his life because God keeps him occupied with the gladness of his heart. Can you see that where joy is coming from? He's concluding that joy comes from God. Even he is saying that even riches comes from God. So he is not saying that being a rich man is not evil. That person is not evil person. The only difference is, are you loving riches or God? That is the matter. If you love the riches, if you are seeking the joy in riches and money, then you are going to be disappointed. If you are seeking joy in God, then you are going to be satisfied. The theme that I have given, the another idol that we should deal, so the theme I have given for this passage is a warning to seekers of joy in money. A warning to seekers of joy in money. There is a warning. If you are seeking joy in money, if you are seeking joy in wrong place, but you should seek joy in right place. God is the one who gives joy, true joy. Only believer can experience that. Whether he is rich, whether he is poor, it doesn't matter. By the way, I want to tell you, poor people are more greedy than rich people sometimes. Most of the time, I can say that. Why poor people are going to prosperity gospel meetings? Because they love money. They think that they can have joy because of money. Sometimes rich people, they are poor people. They won't greed much. But they do. They work hard. They earn money. They have status. That is true. But rich people can be greedy and the poor people can also be greedy. But I can give more weightage on poor people. So don't think that this is not for me today. I am not rich man. I am not rich minister. I am not rich person. This sermon is not for me. This is for you also. All of us struggle, right? All of us struggle. We think the money gives joy to us. No, that's what he's saying. Warning to seekers of joy in money. Look at what he says. Verse 10, he says, he who loves money will not be satisfied with money. Can you see that? Then he says, verse 12, part B, but the full stomach of rich man does not allow him to sleep. Verse 13, riches being stored by their owner to his hurt. He had come naked from his mother's womb. So will he return as he came. And you can see conclusion from verse 18 to 20, especially verse 20, who gives joy? Not money. So there is a warning to us, right? But here, I want to remind you, four shocking facts about money that warns us not to seek joy in money. The first shocking fact about money that warns us not to seek joy in money is, it corrupts us, it corrupts man morally. It corrupts man morally. Look at verse 8 and 9. If you see, you know, it looks like Solomon is saying something else. But if you see, you know, very clearly, verse 8, it says, if you see oppression of the poor, denial of justice, and he's talking about oppression of people by officials. Then verse 9, he's talking about a king who cultivates the field is an advantage to the land. There is the connection, right? Why poor people are being oppressed? Because these officials are being greedy. They love money, so that is corrupting them more and more. Oppressing the poor to get money is morally corruption. You will get some information after that. Verse 8, if you see oppression of the poor, the idea is poor are being oppressed, squeezed by officials. Why they are being oppressed? If you go to government office, or if you go to court, if you go to a different place, MRO office, or registration office, sometimes, most of the time, poor are being oppressed. In what ways? Mostly for the money, right? They demand so much money. You need to give money. They are being oppressed. But he said very clearly how they are being oppressed for the money's sake. In verse 9, you will see that. But see, denial. Verse 8, denial of justice. Denial literally means to rob. Like, no, the figuratively it is used. The perversion of justice, righteousness. Officials do not care about justice, righteousness to oppress poor people. They are not thinking about justice. If that person has all the documents, why this person is not signing? Brothers, why that person is not signing? MRO is not signing. Or register, that RTO officer is not signing. Documents are, everything is clear. How many times you do know, like, no, the exam driving test, you are failing. Why? They need money, right? Poor people are being oppressed by officials. This passage, verse 8 and 9, it's connected to the money only. Why these people are being oppressed? They take bribes. They use their time and strength, but they don't give the things they want to give. The Solomon says to us, do not be shocked at seeing these things. He says that, right? He gives a reason why we should not be shocked at seeing these things. Verse 8, but part B says, for one official watches over another. There are higher officials over them. Higher officials are oppressing the lesser officials. Can you see that? So you are feeling bad that you are being oppressed. Poor people are being oppressed for money. But what is happening in the society, you know, in the government system, in any system, that higher officials are oppressing lesser officers. Even they are doing in that simple way, you know, it's like, you know, if I want to sign your document, you need to bring me 100 bags of rice. So he has taken 100 bags of rice. Then, no, he has to get signed from higher official. When he goes, no, he asks, how much you get? 100 bags. Give me 80 bags, take 20 bags. Then, no, he is oppressing this person. Like, no, everybody is corrupted for money. Poor people are being oppressed. At the same time, lesser officials are being oppressed. So don't be shocked by seeing these things. These are real, right? The word of God is so real to us, right? How the people are corrupted. So that's why I said it corrupts man morally. If somebody is loving money, you know, that person can take any path to get money, right? That's what he's saying. And look at verse 9. Solomon gives responsibility of the king in times of oppression of the poor by officials in his kingdom. So there is connection, right? Verse 9 says, after all, a king who cultivates the field is an advantage to the land. The idea is that the king takes care of the security of cultivated land. That is the literal idea. The king is in favor of prosperous agriculture policy. Why he is saying this? Generally, king does not cultivate field, right? Who cultivates field? Poor people, right? Middle class. Rich people won't go on, they won't cultivate the field. So what happening here now? The Paul is giving how the poor people are being oppressed. These poor people are being oppressed. So what he is saying, you know, when king take cares of cultivating the land means king has to take responsibility to protect these oppressed people. King has to be involved in this matter. The corruption increased very highly that these poor people are being oppressed. He has to take care of it. You should not take literally. King does not cultivate field, right? So he is saying that king has to do something for these people, poor people. And it says very clearly for the advantage of land. For the advantage of land. In this context, for the advantage of poor people. They are being oppressed. Brothers and sisters, if you are greedy, a lover of money, you can take sinful path to get it. Even pastors can do, right? You think only these officials can do these immoral things, like, you know, oppressing others. Even pastors can do that. You force people to give money in offering bags, preaching 10 sermons. give money in the offering bag. And I know that some pastors, they create prayer meetings at home 7 weeks. Every Tuesday, 7 weeks. We are conducting prayer meeting at your house. Why? Whenever pastor conduct my prayer meeting, what happens? The village, that family supposed to give offering. These things are happening in everywhere in Andhra, and they're conducting prayer meetings to get offering. Whenever pastor conduct, they won't say anything. Like, no, even Christians are being oppressed sometimes. Like, no, they're forcefully getting money from pastor, from people, poor people. As I said before, preaching the prosperity gospel to poor people, it is also oppressing them, right? Telling wrong things, which God did not say. If you give something, God will bless you more. If you give like 1 rupee, you will get 100 rupees. They know all poor people, whatever they have, they are giving that 1 rupee they earn for the sake of money. Even pastors can do that. Don't do those kind of things. Don't compromise. If you love money, then you seek other paths to get money. So that's why I said Solomon is saying that it corrupts morally if you love money. That is the warning. That is the warning. I think you can take different paths, but this path you should not love the money. If you love money, you will be corrupted. So many examples we have seen, right? Then second shocking fact about money that warns us not to seek joy in money is it makes man miserable. It makes man corrupted. It makes man miserable. Here we have 4 reasons why man is miserable because of money. You think you will be very happy person because of money, but Solomon, he is telling one of the richest person in that time, he is saying that you can be miserable because of money. The 4 reasons. The first reason why man is miserable because of money is, listen carefully, he is not satisfied with it. He is not satisfied with it. That's why, you know, whatever money you get, you are not satisfied. There is no joy. There is no pleasure in it. That's what Solomon is saying. Verse 10. He who loves money will not be satisfied with money. The literal meaning of the verb be satisfied is to eat one's fill of, satisfy oneself with. The Solomon is saying that one who loves money will not be satisfied with money. He wants more and more, more and more. He is not happy with what he has. That's the idea. He wants more money than he has already. So there is no happiness. A lover of money, brothers and sisters, a lover of money is like a sea that is not satisfied with the water it has. Bay of Bengal. So here we have Arabic, right? Arabian Ocean we have here, but there we have Bay of Bengal. So what happens? No, Bay of Bengal is not satisfied with waters it has. Why I'm saying all the rivers like Penna, Godavari, Krishna in AP mingle in it. All the rainwater mingles in it. Still the Bay of Bengal does not say, I am satisfied. I need more. I can bear. I can take. It's like, no, I need more. The love of money is like being like sea. I'm using that illustration as negative way. That no, I need more. I am not satisfied. I can contain how much water it can comes. Even Solomon says, Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 8, he says, there was a certain man without dependent, having neither a son or a brother, and there was no end to all his labor. Indeed, his eyes were not satisfied with riches. The idea is, no, he wants more. For example, one who loves mobile phone, if new mobile phone comes, new model, he changes, right? Then after using three, four months, he can change us another model. Like, no, he is not happy with what he has. It depends, person to person. It's like, no, they are not happy with. They are selling and buying. Recently, we went one place that what happened, no? One person bought one car, brand new car, he used 1 month. After buying that car, what happened? No, he came to know that new brand has come, new model has come. He sold that car, he bought another car. He used only 1 month. The idea, you know, the people are like that. If somebody loves money, somebody loves things that comes from money, they are not being satisfied. Always they want something else. So that is true. That's what Solomon is saying. So you are miserable, right? You are not enjoying what you have. You are not always thinking what is best. What will come next? What will come next? What I can buy with money? It's like, no, always losing the peace and happiness. There is no satisfaction. That's what he's saying. It is true. Whatever he's saying. Brothers, you should not forget this truth in your life. As pastors, I'm begging you, it does not give you satisfaction. If you love money more than God, then you will not be satisfied with what you have. What you want, more and more. But if you love God more than money, you can say like Agur, Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs 30 verse 8 and 9 says, he says, that is his request, his prayer point, one of the prayer point, that is, give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is my portion, that I not be full and deny you, and say, who is the Lord? Who is Yahweh? Then another one, that I not be in want and steal and profane the name of my God. I should not profane name of my Lord. I should not deny my God. Lord, give me what I want. So that should be our response. Whatever condition you are, you can be rich, you can be poor, but whatever God gave you, know, your prayer should be like that. Lord, don't make me to steal. Provide my daily food. But don't give so much which I don't need. Then I may forget you and reject you. I'm not thankful to you. Even Paul says, right, as a pastor, he is best example for us, right? He's a rich person. Then he became poor also. So he knows everything, how to be rich, how to be poor. So he said in Philippians chapter 4 verse 11, not that I speak from want. Again, no, people may misunderstand. Like, no, because I'm telling these things, I'm expecting from you. No, I'm not expecting from you. I want to tell what I feel, what I think, what is my commitment. I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means and also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstances, I have learned the secret of being filled, being satisfied and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. Paul is best example for us, brothers and sisters. When you are struggling with love of money, you should have satisfaction. See, look at godly men like Paul. How he is behaving. See, I can be honest with you, brothers. If God gives you riches, he is the giver of riches. The verse 18 to 20 says that very clearly, but be satisfied. If God is not giving things, you are becoming middle class or poor, then be satisfied. Paul went through all things. Then you are able to understand. You remember yesterday Bible study, when you become poor, when God sends you trial, then you are able to sympathize with others. If somebody is going through lack of things, somebody is going through in need, you can understand, you can teach them how to depend on God, how you can have satisfaction even though you are poor. You can help that person, right? But we should say like Paul, we should say like Agur, right? Whatever it is there, whatever circumstances, I should have satisfaction. But no, in the world, without God, they are not satisfied. But believers can be satisfied, right? Whether they are rich or poor, that is the lesson we need to learn. The third reason why man is miserable because of money is he can't enjoy it fully. He can't enjoy it fully. Look at verse 11. When good things increase, those who consume them increase. Good things refers to here riches in this context. The literal meaning of the word good is used, refers three things, right? Generally in Hebrew, the Hebrew word refers to good means morally good. Good means appearance, outlook is good. The good means things. Literally it means practical, economic, material good. That is the meaning of the Greek, Hebrew verb here. Sorry for that. So I am preaching from Hebrew text. So Solomon says that when riches increases, then those who consume them increases. The idea is that he's telling the timeless fact. Timeless fact, it is general truth. It is not like it happens to somebody else. It happens to everybody in all the time. Whenever riches increases, those who eat, those who consume them increases. That's what he is saying. There is a proverb in Telugu which says that where jaggery is, there ants are. The idea, where sweets are, there ants are. The people come around that sphere, how ants come around that jaggery or sphere. Yeah, like that people come to you. People come to rich people. For what? To love them? To eat their riches? To consume their wealth? Right? I can give you some example that I was thinking about. How these people eats rich people's wealth? How consumes? Is this practical? Is this happening? Yes, these things are happening right now. For example, undisciplined relatives and friends start enjoying hospitality of rich man almost every day. Bring your blanket, bring everything and sleep that place and enjoying everything, consuming that person's richness. Useless children who play gambling and engaging in betting, IPL bettings, yeah, losing crores and consuming dad's money. These things are happening. And unloving family members who go to the court to get his riches. There are so many fightings in court, right? Own brothers will go. Own sister will go to court. unjustly to take. It happened in our place also. After death of that person, no, then his brothers came, has taken that, those lands. But he is saying, this is our property, uncles. He is saying, no, no, this is our property. But they did not come when his father is alive. After death of that father, they came, they have taken land. See, what happening, no? These things will happen. Undisciplined relatives who only take money and never give back. They take, they won't give. I am poor. What? How can I give you? They say, next day I will give. No, next day will become eternity. They won't give back. Like, no, there are many ways when riches increases, no? When jaggery is there, ants increases. When riches are there, those who consume it will come and enjoy it. For example, unethical employees who cheat boss, right? And make him bhikari. So many examples, right? Whatever profit they eat and make his boss bhikari and go and beg. These things will happen. So many aspects are there. Even ungracious income tax officers. How much you get, no? The government officers will come and take it. You need to pay, like if you earn 1 crore, 10%, sir, how much is that? Huh? More than that. Like, no, 40 lakhs you are giving out of 1 crore. Just no, he says, see, what he says, no, in verse 11, what he says, very interesting, verse 11, it says, when good things increase, those who consume them increase, see what he says. So what is the advantage to their owners except to look on? Just they are looking at, then income tax officer coming, taking 40 lakhs, which he sweat and work hard, and these relatives and undisciplined child and eating and spending money. That's why, no, I said, it makes you miserable. Don't seek joy in money because of these reasons. You can't enjoy fully your money, your riches. Somebody will eat. Brothers, it is better for you. The implication here, you can give money by yourself to the ministry before somebody will eat. You can use it for God's kingdom, God's glory, before it is consumed by others for their glory. Are you getting what I'm saying? So instead of wasting money, you know, your riches, you spend that money to bring glory to Christ. Matthew chapter 6 verse 19 and 20 says, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. Can you see the word Jesus used? Break in and steal. Solomon is saying same thing. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in or steal. Can you see that? Before somebody consumes your riches, use those riches for God's glory. That is the lesson the believer should take from this passage. That is the lesson. I was reading about John Wesley, who was a co-founder of Methodist Church. He told his people like this, make all you can, save all you can, give all you can. Make all you can, save all you can, give all you can. Wesley could have been a wealthy man, but he chose to live a simple life, give generously. Like, you know, the people, godly men, they can understand, they can sense that these riches cannot satisfy me. When I give my things to others, when rich man gives things to poor, then, you know, there is so much love there, right? You can grow very near. Yesterday we heard, again, I'm bringing that point, why God sends trials? If somebody is not sympathizing with others, then God sends trials, then they started thinking about, yeah, this is not mine. This is God. I can. But don't give everything, make you family, like, no, beggars. Be wise. That is another sermon. How to give money, and so that is another sermon. But no, some people, they keep themselves everything. No. In your range, in your level, start giving others. The third reason why man is miserable because of money. You remember three reasons. He is not satisfied with it. The second reason, do you remember? He can't enjoy it fully. The third reason, he has no sleep because of it. He has no sleep because of it. In another way, no, he has no peace because of it. Verse 12. Solomon says that the sleep of the poor man who works is pleasant, whether he eats little or much. The idea is poor man sleeps in peace. And he can have sound sleep every day. He's not worried about, he's not loving money. Just he's poor person, he is sleeping nicely. That is pleasant. But verse 12 part B says, but the full stomach of rich man does not allow him to sleep. Does not allow him to sleep because he does not have peace in his life. He has a lot of tensions about his wealth. What happens to my investments in share market? What happens? What will happen to my business tomorrow? They have a lot of tensions in their life that make them sleepless and peaceless. They work hard. They reject the sleep to earn more, right? Sometimes. I was seeing the sleep pattern of rich people, billionaires and those who have crores and crores. They know most of them are sleeping 3 to 5. Most of them are sleeping 3 to 5 hours. At least you should sleep 6 hours, right? But every day they sleep 3 to 5 hours. Some of them are sleeping 3.5 hours. Like, no, they won't enjoy the sleep. Do you know that? Sleeping is gift of God, right? That is one of the blessing, not richness. So what, very clear, right? Solomon is saying they don't have peace. They don't have sleep. That's why they are miserable. If you think about the best example now, I can say rich people will wake up. If the dog barks 2 times, right? What happening to? Did a thief came or not? What happening at house? Some sounds are coming. They won't sleep well. And they call to watchmen. What happening there? So those who love money, like, no, they won't sleep. If thief go to poor people's house, take me also. You need feed me, right, every day? So please take me also. So no worries. Poor man sleeps aramse. He can have sound sleep. I can say, don't criticize me. He can have snoring sleep. Right? He is aramse. He is not worried about anything. But rich man always is worried about his, what happens to my richness? You know, brothers, the sleep is a gift of God. God gives sound sleep to his people who love him more than money. Maybe he is rich, either he is poor. If he loves God, he can get sleep. It is not connected to how much rich you are. It is connected to, are you related to God? Do you love God? Even rich man can sleep aramse. That's what I want to say. I am not standing here to criticize rich people. I am saying that even rich people can sleep aramse when they love God. Even Psalm 127 verse 2 says, in vain you rise early and stay up late, toil for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Are you rich? If you are loving God, you can have better sleep. It is not connected to the richness. It is connected to relationship with God. That's what Solomon is saying. If you love money, you will lose sleep. The fourth reason why a man is miserable because of money is he stores it for his hurt. Look at verse 13, what he says. Solomon says that there is a grievous evil which he has seen under the sun. Riches being stored by their owner to his hurt. See, this rich man, one who loves money, he is storing money, keeping money in the bank and storing it, working hard, then it is hurting him. But we have seen already how it hurts the rich man, right? He does not have sleep, he does not have peace, he is not enjoying it, right? So much hurt. But I can give you other things, how the person who loves money, storing money, working hard for that,
something will happen. For example, I can say that he can lose his family life. Do you agree with me? He can lose his family life because he is spending his time with how to get money, but he is not giving time for family. Children will become corrupt. Wife is not happy because this person is always connected to the money. Many ways it hurts storing money. That's what Paul says to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 to 10. He says that, but godliness actually is a means of great gain, which accompanied by contentment. If you have food and covering, with these shall be content. But those who want to get rich fall into temptations, a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is root of all sorts of evil. Some by longing for it, having wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Can you see that? Paul is telling reality. The both are agreeing. Paul and Solomon both are helping to understand how much you store money, how much you love, you are going to be hurted by money. If you keep money in first place, that leads us to know the third shocking fact about money that wants us not to seek in money is it flies away from man one day. It makes man corrupted, first shocking fact. Second shocking fact, it makes man miserable. The third fact, it flies away from man one day. Just look at verse 14 and 15 says, when those riches were lost through a bad investment. And it says, verse 15, he had come naked from his mother's womb, so will he return as he came. Here we have two clarifications about money that flies from a man. The first clarification is, it flies away from man suddenly. It flies away from man suddenly through bad investment. Look at verse 14. It says, when riches were lost through a bad investment. Bad investment. It is not secured. Man cannot secure money in ongoing state. That is the idea. It can go suddenly. Proverbs 23 verse 5. Most of us knows, right? When you set your eyes on it, it is gone. For wealth certainly makes itself wings like an eagle that flies toward the heavens. That shows you are not able to catch what you lost. That's the idea. Flying into the heaven, no? You cannot reach heaven, right? It is very far for you. It goes suddenly through bad investments. That's what he's saying. So many people became bhikaris, poor, because they're bad investments. Even pastors can do that, right? So if you don't invest properly, you know, if you won't use brain, then what happens? No, God will send judgment sometimes. He collapses your share market, everything, whatever you invested. It goes suddenly. That is the first clarification. That's why I'm saying it cannot give you joy, brothers. So deep. He is going one by one, step by step. He is giving full doctrine of money, the lover of money, right? Very clearly, it goes suddenly. Not only does Solomon talk about the time when money flies, but he talks about the result of losing all money. See, look at part B, verse 14, part B. Look at what he says. His children become poor, right? Verse 14 is saying that, and he had fathered a son, then there was nothing to support him. Like, no, he is not able to support. Even children becomes poor. He became poor. And you can see verse 17, the result of losing money, riches. Verse 17, he talks about he becomes a discouraged man. He becomes a frustrated man. He becomes sick and weak. That's what he's saying. Look at verse 17. What is throughout his life, he also eats in darkness. That is talking about, like, no, discouragement and shame. Like, no, he's not happy. He's eating in darkness with great vexation. That is talking about upset, bother, irritation. Like, no, after he loves money, suddenly money flies away from him. What happened? No, he became shameful. His children became poor. He became poor. There is a lot of discouragement, frustration. Look at the word, which is vexation. That is talking about upset, bother, irritation, with anger. And also, no, see, the sickness comes, right? Most of them were died with sickness. Not because of sickness. The sickness has come because they lost their money. Worrying about how much they lost. Suddenly they became nothing. Before they have so many bungalows, so many cars, and so much money in the bank. Suddenly, you know, that person became poor. Then the person is not able to digest himself. Like, no, frustration, like, no, upset, and eating in darkness, discouragement. This is the result of going away. It flies away suddenly and make you miserable. Make you miserable. Do you want to find joy in this money? I can say loudly, no. After studying this passage, if somebody is saying, I can find joy in money, he is a fool. He's a fool. He's deceiving himself. The second information about money that flies away from man one day is, the first clarification is, suddenly it goes away, right? The second information, permanently at his death. It flies away from man permanently at death. Look at verse 15 to 16. Verse 15, part A says, he had come naked from his mother's womb, so he will return as he came. Part B says, verse 15, he will take anything. He will not take anything from the fruit of his labor by his hand. He will die as he is born. He will die as he is born. So what is the benefit to him who works day and night? That's what he's asking. What is the benefit? You are not taking anything with you. Why you are loving? Why you are seeking joy in it? One day it is going to leave you, fly from you. By the way, it is used as passive, right? Through bad investment. Verse 14, right? When riches were lost through a bad investment, no? That is, God is doing actions there. The means is, tool is bad investment. The tool is death. But ultimate, the person, one who gives you, one who says to the riches, your riches, riches of Vijay, run away. Then it goes. Because no, he can use bad investment, he can use other things to tell your riches, run away from you, flies from you. God is the one who is doing. Because you love money more than me. One who gave to you, right? I gave you everything, but you are loving that more. Then it flies. It goes suddenly, it goes permanently at death. I was reading an article. I heard in my childhood that, no, this Alexander Great, he said something. Just I was starting reading about him and what happened, his end of his life. So I was reading about him. So he instructed his generals three things, three wishes. I can read from that article. He says that only his doctors carry his dead bodies. Only his doctors carry his dead bodies. First wish. Second wish, that the path leading to his grave be lavished with precious metals and ornaments. The path to the grave. Third wish, both his hands be open and kept hanging out of his coffin. Then the general asked Alexander Great about this strange request. He replied to him, he wanted to show people that by making doctors carry his dead body, no doctor can stop my death. No doctor can stop anybody's death. Then second, he desired that pathway to his grave to be lavished with treasures to show people that he spent most of his lifetime to accomplish, to gain riches in the world. Now it is behind. I am not able to take them back. The third request, he wanted both his hands open and out of coffin to show that he died with empty-handed. Just he was born. Nothing he is taking. He's not taking anything from that. That's what I read about him. Maybe it is true. I did not see that, but mostly it is true. I heard it is true incident. What we can take? We cannot take anything. I want to remind you that Jesus said, right? Do you remember? Jesus said about Alexander Great. So he is another fool. Mark chapter 8 verse 36 says, "For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world, forfeit his soul?" That's what Jesus said. You need to love me first. You need to love me first. You should not love things in the world. You will lose everything. Even Paul says, 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 7, "For we have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either." Brothers and sisters, you focus on things that matters eternal, but not on money that flies away from you one day. Don't do ministry for money's sake. He is providing the food for all birds and animals. Even he is providing, he is looking after unbelievers, right? Do you remember? Unbelievers he is feeding. He can provide you. The only request I want to make to you, right? Don't do ministry to support yourself. God is the one who supports you. God is the one who is looking after birds and the full universe. Do you think he will forget you? Because he is so busy, he is looking after birds and animals, he forgot. One who is serving for his glory. Do you think he forgot? But no, me think we won't trust in the Father, Heavenly Father. He can care about us, right? But don't do that. The ministry for the money's sake. Do ministry with full heart for his glory. Whatever you need, no, he gives in his time. Necessities. He is Father, right? He is your Father. He knows what you want. But no, so many pastors, what happening, no? Because they love money, they are running after money. They are not trusting in the Lord. They are not trusting in the Lord. I can say so many testimonies, how God is being helpful and no, on time. On time he helps to eat, to drink. He is looking after us, right? But we should have contentment. Whatever he gives, we should have satisfaction. That leads us to conclusion. The fourth shocking fact about money that warns us not to seek joy in money is, that is the conclusion, is, it is an instrument of God. It is an instrument of God, the giver of true joy. It is an instrument of God, the giver of true joy. He talks about this fact in verse 18 to 20. So Solomon, he is not saying being rich is bad. Being rich man is evil thing. The only thing is, Solomon is concluding here, the wealth, riches is an instrument of God, the giver of all true joy. So you need to run to him for joy, but he gives you joy through using money and riches. First thing we can see, no? You can see very clearly, the enjoyment of blessings of life is gift of God. Look at verse 18. The enjoyment of blessing of life is gift of God. Clearly it says, verse 18. Here what is I have seen to be good and fitting, to eat, to drink, enjoy oneself in all one's labor. These all are blessings of life, right? To eat, to drink, to enjoy the labor. It is the gift of God. God is giving that gift. He is the giver of joy, right? The second fact about God, no? Like, no, how he gives joy to us. The second thing, no? The ability to enjoy riches is gift of God. Ability to enjoy riches is gift of God. Verse 19. Furthermore, as for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth. The only difference, no? If you love God, you are going to enjoy your life. You are going to enjoy even your richness. Do you know Theophilus? Who is Theophilus? He's a rich man. Believer. Do you know Lydia? Who is a rich man? Do you know so many? Paul greets in his epistles the Caesar, household of Caesar. So many rich people are there in the Bible, right? So don't see rich person, this man is bad. This man is evil. No, riches were given by God to people. There are some rich people. You need to accept there are rich believers in the Bible even now. Do you know Mark's mother? Mark is a rich man. The early church used to meet at their house. Do you remember that? So there are some rich people among us. But what Solomon is saying here very clearly, that God is giving ability to enjoy the richness that he gave to them. The joy is coming from God. God. He's using those riches as instrument. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. Look at verse 20. What he says. For he will not often consider the years of his life. He is not worried about rich man, any Christian, any believer. He is not worried about his life, years. Why? It says, because God keeps him occupied with the gladness of his heart. God consistently is giving gladness, happiness to the heart of rich person, to the heart of his people, right? So I am not standing here to criticize rich people. I am saying I want to comfort rich people also. Whatever richness God has given rich people, that came from God, and he is giving happiness also in that to enjoy. The only difference is one who loves riches more than God, they won't have joy. One who loves God more than riches, which they have, they can have joy, satisfaction. Don't seek joy in money, but seek joy in God, right? Because it corrupts man morally, because it makes man miserable, because it flies away from man one day. The fourth reason, the conclusion, it is an instrument of God, the giver of true joy. A man of God said, very interesting, this is very true. He says like this, we are guilty of idolatry if we focus more on gifts of God than on giver. Second statement, we are guilty of ingratitude if we accept his gifts but complain about them. The third statement he made, we are guilty of indulgence if we store his gifts and will not share them with others. One of the great examples I can give for pastors like you and me, like, you know, how pastors should love God more than money. His example is John Calvin. I was reading about his biography. Then what happened? No, one time I read about him. Pope Pius IV, he said something about John Calvin. At the time of Calvin's death, he said about Calvin like this. Listen very carefully. He said about Calvin, the strength of that heretic. So Pope calls him heretic, right? So for his side, Calvin is heretic. He's false teachers. What he's saying, no, listen. The strength of the heretic consisted in this. He is very strong man. I know this. What is that? That money never had the slightest charm, slightest attraction for him. If I had such servants like John Calvin, that heretic, if I have so much heretics like him, I have as my servants, he says, my dominion would extend from sea to sea. From sea to sea. I know strength of man who does not love money, who loves God. People should say about you, brothers and sisters, especially you pastors, those who are going to be pastors, people should say that, this man, my pastor, he loves God more than money. I know he has money, but he does not love money. Do you see that? Do you desire that? God may help us to have this kind of testimonies from our church members and from people, right? And God may help us to seek joy in God, not in earthly things and temporary things. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you with humble heart. Lord, Father, you are such a loving Father that you want to protect us from evil things, especially, Lord, for loving money, which is replacing you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for teaching from Ecclesiastes, Lord, uselessness of money. Lord, miserable life of one who loves money, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for teaching us. Thank you for convincing us to love you more, to seek joy in you. I pray for these men and women, brothers and sisters. Lord, be with them, Lord. Lord, protect them, Lord, from Satan. Lord, help them to find joy only in you. And make them useful, Lord, for your glory, to build churches in India. In Jesus' name I pray.
Yes, I think chapter 6 could be